You're listening to The Omni Show, where we connect with the amazing community surrounding the Omni Group's award-winning products. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we talk with Caitlin Salsky about how she uses OmniFocus. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Omni Show. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we have Caitlin Salsky. And if you don't know her, I'm very excited to make this introduction. I honestly can't do a better job than the intro on her website, so permit me to read this. She says, "I'm the kind of person that tries to represent everything in Venn diagrams and flowcharts, uses too many emojis, and has an OmniFocus automation set up for managing my laundry." And if that doesn't tell you enough about me, then I really don't know what will. She's a rock star in our community. Caitlin, welcome. Talk to us about where you find yourself, what you're up to in an average day, and hi.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me. It's really exciting to be here. I love to talk about OmniFocus, and I don't get a chance often in my day-to-day life. So really appreciate the invitation. A bit about me. I live in regional Australia. I'm here with my partner and my one-year-old, who keeps me pretty well on my toes most of the time. As far as work goes, I'm an accountant by training. I'm actually in between jobs at the moment. So I've just finished off. I've been working for the last 8 years or so in tax as a tax accountant. And I'm just about to move into an executive role in local government in a couple of weeks. So I'm in the middle of packing up my house and moving 2 hours away and starting a new job. So I'm in a bit of an interesting period at the moment. And at the same time as that, I'm also studying a Bachelor of Computer Science, which I'm about halfway through now. So that's just for something extra to do on the, just for fun.
Caitlin, I really feel like you need to pick up the pace. It feels like you're falling behind to me.
No, I feel like I've got quite a lot going on at the minute, but that's all right because I've got OmniFocus to keep me under control.
Well, grateful for that. And a great segue into your history. There was a time when you didn't know about the Omni Group or OmniFocus or any of that. Can you wind back the clock and just tell us about, do you remember when you first saw OmniFocus or saw the Omni Group or anything of that nature?
I was trying to think about this, and I don't remember where I first came across OmniFocus and the Omni Group. I had a look back, and it looks like I purchased it in August 2014. So coming up on probably 8 years since I've been working with OmniFocus, and I've been using it pretty well all throughout that time. I would have come across Getting Things Done and sort of the broader productivity community, for lack of a better word, probably a lot earlier than that, probably about 2005, 2006, and played around with various other software tools and things over that time, and I think was pretty common around that era while stuff was being built and it was becoming more, you know, that was back in the day when you had to plug in your iPod at the time to sync up calendars and things. So we've come a long way since then. I do have a memory of downloading and installing OmniFocus and playing with it for about 5 minutes, thinking, oh no, this isn't for me. It's a bit expensive. I wasn't probably employed at the time. I was probably still in high school. Went, no, I don't think this is for me. And I think I went back to Remember the Milk or something, whatever I would have was using at the time. So that was, I don't have many regrets in my life, but not persisting with that a little bit more probably would have benefited me at the time if I'd just stuck to it for a little bit longer. But I did eventually get there. I eventually got on board with OmniFocus. And so I've been using it pretty well consistently since I purchased it back in 2014.
Wow.
So it's taken me through all of my accountancy studies. I did all of my undergraduate and then postgraduate studies. And now obviously I've gone into the computer science degree as well. And for some of that, I was studying full-time at the same time as working full-time. So I needed a good system. I'd used it when I was overseas working in Spain as an English language teaching assistant for a while and traveling around Europe for 3 months. And then I've used it all the time I was on maternity leave after my son was born and making sure I remembered to wash my hair and things. That those were actually tasks that are in my OmniFocus because you've got three children, you probably remember what that's like. So it's definitely held a wide variety of tasks for me over the years, but I'm glad that I did discover it in the end and I eventually came back to it because, you know, the Omni Group, they're just fabulous. Any interactions that anyone that's interacted or sent a support email would know that already, but also the wider community is fabulous as well as just being great software.
Absolutely. And we did kind of mention these larger sweeping, you know, 30,000 foot projects where you're getting a degree, you're a mom. What areas of life do you use OmniFocus to manage and how does that pie slice up for you?
Yeah. So basically the answer to what areas of my life am I managing with OmniFocus? The answer is all of them. realistically, work obviously is a little bit up in the air because I'm in between jobs. So at my previous job, I did use OmniFocus. I probably didn't need to, but because I was so invested in it anyway, I wanted to use it. So I did. I probably could have gotten away with not using it, to be honest, just because we had our own systems and things there. And so I guess it's a bit of a wait and see with the new job as to how much of a role it plays and what the sort of external systems and collaborative systems and things like that look like there. I don't know that yet. But yeah, as I said, it sort of really runs the spectrum from everything as small as, you know, wash your hair, drink a glass of water, remember how to function, through to the much bigger stuff, the work projects, the university assignments, moving house. And I know that that approach is not necessarily for everyone. It obviously does add a bit of overhead in terms of maintenance. And it took me a while to get to a point where all of those smaller tasks, they basically run on autopilot in the system now for me. So I'm not in there making tasks every day to remind me to drink water or wash my hair, but they're there and they sort of pop up automatically and I tick them off as they come along and I don't have to manage them really very much at this point. But it's been so worth it when chaos happens, be that a newborn or a sudden move 2 hours away, to have some of those reminders there when something unexpected comes up, just to make sure, you still need to go for a walk. You still need to get out of the house and and get some air. You can't just pack all the time. You still need to do those things. And even if that's looking at some of the tasks that you would normally do and skipping them, that's just as valid, but at least I'm consciously making that choice. Basically, everything is in OmniFocus for me. There's not much that isn't. I do keep sort of someday maybe style lists outside of OmniFocus, and I haven't really got a great way of dealing with those at the moment. They're kind of just dumped in Obsidian and I'm not really getting to them because I've got enough on anyway. so I'm just happy that they're sitting somewhere. But yeah, as far as actions, as soon as I've committed to doing something, it's pretty well in OmniFocus in some way, even if it's just sort of an empty project as a placeholder to remind me to come back to it later.
Caitlin, I love asking this question, and I know you'd be well positioned to answer it. I love that you said that your particular way of doing things may not necessarily be for everybody. Totally understand that, and everybody does have their own way of doing things. For the person that is in that inflection point where they realize they're getting more and more responsibility in life, they may have accidentally or intentionally committed to more than they can consciously hold in their head. They've got this sneaking suspicion that I can do it all. I can't keep it all in my head. I need some sort of system to help me out. And let's say they open OmniFocus. What would you suggest somebody does first? You open it up, you're looking at the screen. Where do I begin?
I don't really feel that qualified to offer advice, but I guess I would say, somewhat in opposition to what I've just said, you probably don't start with anything overly complex. So you probably don't want to start, if you're just coming to OmniFocus and just coming to sort of task management and this kind of productivity space, you probably don't want to start by putting tasks in your task manager that are brush your teeth. It's probably better to start with the bigger picture stuff, the bigger rocks, I guess, and start small, you know, start with the basics and add things in as you need them rather than trying to invent a whole system from scratch and think about what you might need. Wait until you actually can see what's missing and then go from there. So don't start by looking at my system or someone else's system and going, I'm going to implement that and do exactly the same thing as what they're doing, because it probably will collapse. I did a workflow session over at Learn OmniFocus, it would have been about a month ago now. And I thought about adding a don't try this at home sort of disclaimer on that session, which I didn't just because of time. But I don't think that's the place to start. And it's not to say that you can't look at other people's setups or workflows and things like that and get some ideas of where you might go, what direction you might take things in. But I think starting simple is probably the way to go. And there's some really good, as I said, I don't really feel like I'm qualified in this to really be advising anyone, but there are some really good resources around. Obviously, you've got this podcast. Learn OmniFocus is another really good resource. Creating Flow with OmniFocus is a brilliant place to get started. And even if you're well along you're sort of familiar with OmniFocus, both of those resources still probably have something to offer. And I would highly recommend both of those. And they're certainly not the only resources that are out there. But there's plenty around, and the community is really great. So if people are getting started with OmniFocus, I would sort of encourage them to jump into the, you know, the forums or the Slack channel, and there's always people in there that are willing to help out with advice and tips and troubleshooting if needed. And the OmniFocus support team as well. They're just the best support team I've ever seen. So certainly wouldn't hesitate to reach out to them.
Yeah, absolutely grateful for that. I think the hallmark, one of the coolest things about this community is just the willingness that people have to help. I've seen you in the discourse forums or the Slack channel just kind of jumping in. Somebody's trying to work on some code for Omni Automation and just asking, hey, what do you guys think? And you jump in and say, here's a line or two that could be written differently that might help. And for everybody that's not familiar, Omni Automation is just this extendable way to give Omni software kind of superpowers, just extra stuff that can happen that wasn't originally planned in the program. You're able to install plugins that are community created and people can stand on each other's shoulders to be able to add extensibility to the software. And it's really cool to see because your use case might have something where it's, man, I really need to know how to schedule appointments. And I would love it if this software had that ability built in. There's just so many use cases that people can use to extend the functionality of Omni software, OmniFocus included. Including, Caitlin, I know that you've done a lot of plugins yourself. Do you mind walking people through some of the use cases that you've created plugins for, just so they can get an idea for, you know, what's possible?
Sure. How long have you got? I've been a little bit busy in the Omni Automation space with OmniFocus in particular. I've not ventured into the other Omni applications, which is probably for the best because I don't have time. to go as overboard as I probably have with the plugins in OmniFocus. So I guess I would start, I did mention earlier that I did a Learn OmniFocus session recently, and I did demonstrate a whole bunch of Omni Automation plugins that I'd written over there. So if people are interested in sort of seeing them in action and actually being able to visualize what's happening on the screen, which is probably better than me trying to describe things in audio in a lot of cases, and is a little bit more in depth. That's where I would point them if they wanted to sort of get a clearer view of what I've done with some things there. I do have a kind of a directory of plugins that I've built up on my website as well, where I try to share things that I think might be of more general use to people. So that ranges from smaller plugins that do pretty quick, simple tasks. So like I have an append or prepend text action where you can select some tasks and add some text to the beginning or the end of the selected tasks. One where you can defer the instance of a task. So obviously if you have a recurring task in OmniFocus and you change the defer date, it will be changed for future instances of that task as well. So this is a plugin that you can, instead of deferring that and then having to readjust it later, you can just defer that one instance and then the future instances won't be affected. I have some that estimate total time of tasks that are selected, tag tasks that are due today, all sorts of things like that. One that I don't think I've actually published anywhere, but seemed to be of interest to people after I did that session was this idea of switching modes using Omni Automation. So I have, and I'll try and describe this in audio the best I can without any visuals, but I have two tags that represent different modes. So broadly, I talk about them being focused and not no focus, which is not a great name when you're talking about OmniFocus because that actually means something. But nevertheless, that's how it ended up in my system because I couldn't think of anything else to call it. So broadly, the focus mode is when I can concentrate fully on something. So in terms of my life, that typically means when my son is asleep, I can really get stuck into something and I know I won't be distracted, as opposed to when he's awake and I have no focus, basically. I can still sometimes get some things done, but they need to be things I can put down and come back to or do while I'm watching him or whatever the case may be. So I have those two tags set up in my OmniFocus database, and then I have an automation that allows me to put one of them on hold and make the other one available. And that means that any tasks that fit that kind of current mode that I'm in are visible, and any that don't, they aren't available anymore. So if you've got a perspective that's showing available tasks and they don't show up, they sort of get out of the way. And again, I don't think I explained that particularly well in audio. It sort of requires more of a visual probably to get, but I think that was quite a popular idea. So I probably need to write that one up in a little bit more detail with some better examples somewhere as well. But in terms of bigger plugins, I've got a whole bunch. And again, some of these I did a bit of a demo of in that Learn OmniFocus session. So I have a dependency plugin. So that means that you can make one task dependent on another, sort of across projects and things like that. A scheduling plugin, I use that to determine what day I'm planning to do a particular task. So it's not necessarily a defer date, or a due date, but it's what day to actually plan to get this done. And I use that quite a lot with uni work and things, you know, go, okay, on Wednesday, I've got to watch this lecture, on Thursday, I've got to watch this lecture, on Friday, I've got to work through this practical thing. And then on Saturday, I've really got to do the assignment because it's due on Sunday. And I sort of use that to make sure that I'm on track, even though I could leave all of those things to Sunday if I really wanted to, but it's not typically a good idea. so I use that one quite a lot. I have a completed task report that I run at the end of every day that just dumps all of my completed tasks into a kind of pretty report in day one. The templates plugin is the other one that's probably fairly popular as well. So that allows you to set up templates within OmniFocus. I'd sort of used a few other systems that allow you to set up templates in, say, drafts or something like that in a task paper format. But I'd found that they've probably settled down a lot more now, but my projects and tags and things were sort of always in a bit of a state of flux. And so as soon as you change the name of a tag, or you decide to add an emoji to the start of it or anything like that, things would break. Because in that task paper format, they didn't have, you know, it's just text. Whereas I found that by moving them into OmniFocus, I was able to use, you know, if I renamed a tag or deleted a tag or whatever the case may be, it was really easy to, it didn't break anything. And I added in some sort of flexibility there as well. It was inspired a lot by, I think it was Kirk Clifton's, had an Apple script that did something similar. And so which is still available and still works, I imagine. I haven't used it, obviously, for a little while. But it was sort of started off as a kind of recreation of that and built a little bit from there. It does a few other things now, I think, that original script didn't do. But yeah, I found that I use that one quite a lot. And I think that's one that's been quite popular as well. So there's definitely more there, but I think that's probably more than you wanted to hear about on the automation.
No, not at all. And education about this is honestly half the journey. People don't realize, oh my gosh, I can have something that puts a daily report directly into day one. That's amazing. You know, let me do that. So thank you for sharing all that.
There's so much potential there to do so many things. I had someone contact me recently because I also, on my site, I have the option to contact me to create a custom OmniFocus plugin, because obviously not everyone wants to go away and learn JavaScript, and it's probably not viable for most people to do that just to, you know, make that one automation that they want to have. But just recently, for example, I've been building an example, someone contacted me and they said, oh, I want to be able to tag tasks or projects and have them become available only when the weather in my zip code is above 70 degrees Fahrenheit and not raining. And so I've just built that for them, and they haven't tested it out yet. But, you know, that's the sort of thing that's possible, because you can interact with any, you can use APIs that are available. It's not a lot of code. You're like, so if people have, and you could probably do the same thing in shortcuts or anything. Like, I know APIs are probably a step beyond where a lot of people are comfortable with potentially. But like, if you're comfortable in that space, it's not difficult. And as I said, it's the kind of thing where the community is more than happy to help out with most of those things and point you in the right direction. So I didn't write it myself, but someone, and I apologize for not having knowing their name off the top of my head, but someone has built a GitHub integration for anyone that's sort of using GitHub, which is more for programmers typically, or developers. But it syncs with GitHub, basically. It pulls all of your tasks in from GitHub, and if they're marked as complete on GitHub, it updates them in OmniFocus, which I'm not using anymore. I decided it was better just to track that in GitHub, like it's already got a system for it. I don't need to duplicate all of that. But the fact that it's possible just sort of blows my mind a little bit.
That's so crazy to me, though. It might just be me, but the integration, that's nuts. Being able to have it kind of talk back and forth between different software and API. I do want to shift gears. Let's talk about your perspectives. I know, again, perspectives is one of those things not for everybody, but being able to hear how you do it and just say, you know what, the way that I slice and dice data, this just really works for me. These are my go-to perspectives from day to day.
Most of the time when I'm looking at OmniFocus, I have 6 custom perspectives open on the screen at once, kind of in a tiled view, which I think of as like a dashboard. I'll just quickly run through them just to kind of give a bit of a sense of them. So the first one is anything that's due soon. And so that's anything that's remaining and due today, in case it's hidden for some reason that I've missed, you know, it's blocked by another task or something and it's due today, I still want to know about it. So anything remaining that's due today pops up in there, as well as anything that's due in the next 3 days. So that's using OmniFocus's due soon perspective rule. And that comes to the top. That's kind of my first perspective that I look at, because obviously there's some urgency involved with anything that pops into there. Then I have my habits perspective, and I try to work through these roughly in order generally. And that's not a hard and fast rule particularly, but that's kind of how I think about it. So habits is those things that we were talking about earlier. So the wash your hair, the brush your teeth, the drink a glass of water, clean the bathroom. There's a woman called, I think her name is Gemma Bray, and she runs a site called The Organized Mum. And she has, basically it's a cleaning road. but the way that she frames the cleaning tasks for cleaning her house is she thinks of it in terms of level one, level two, and level three tasks. So level one is like the things that have to happen in order to keep things functional. So, you know, that's cleaning the bathroom, because if you don't clean it every week, it gets in a state and it's a disaster. It's washing the clothes, because if you don't wash the clothes, you don't have anything to wear. And it's the kind of like, it's almost the emergency mode. It's like, this has to happen no matter what. And there might be like a little bit of flexibility in that, but basically it's, this has to happen. And then the level two, she thinks about more in terms of, so that's your kind of weekly cleaning of your house. So she divides it, she assigns each room of the house to a day. So, you know, on Thursdays you clean your kitchen and you wipe down your benches and you scrub your stove and you wipe down your oven and things like that. And obviously those are the next level up. So if you miss scrubbing down your kitchen thoroughly 1 week, it's not the end of the world. You know, you can kind of skip it. And then the level threes are the more deep cleaning kind of things, cleaning out your entire fridge, or, you know, the tasks that you don't ever want to do, cleaning out the wardrobe for clothes that are too small, or, you know, sort of deeper things like this. And so to bring it back, that's kind of what I think about when I'm putting something in this habits category. Is it something that needs to happen, or I really want to make sure happens, as opposed to something that it would be ideal if it happened. And so I try and keep only the essentials in there, but they tend to be those smaller tasks, and that keeps them kind of separate. I think in talking about earlier how, you know, having everything in the system is not necessarily for everyone, I think the biggest problem with having everything in the system is that the potential for things, the bigger stuff, to get lost. You don't want to have, oh, my assignment's due today, and also I have to wash my teeth, brush my hair, and drink a glass of water. and so I kind of cordon them off into that perspective there, and also another perspective that comes up. But it kind of has a bit of a visual distinction in terms of when I'm looking at that dashboard. They don't kind of pollute the view that I'm looking at. So that keeps them a bit separate. And just quickly, because I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, I'll quickly run through the others. So then I have the today perspective, which is things that I've explicitly said, I want to do this today. Or for example, on Saturday, I might have said, I want to do this on Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, it kind of pulls into that view with, again, with the help of that scheduling plugin that I've got going on. And that's just flagged tasks, basically, but it's all kind of managed automatically in the background, typically. And they tend to be bigger tasks, you know, the UD work and the, at the moment, I have a task in there recurring every day to spend at least 1 hour packing up my house. so that project keeps ticking along. Then I've got the fifth perspective is ASAP. So that's things that are time sensitive, but not necessarily due. So for example, if I've got someone sent me an email and they have, I don't know, say that they've asked me to write a custom OmniFocus plugin for them or something like that, it's not a case of I need to get back to that person. You know, it's sort of something that I do on the side and more for fun than anything else. So it's not as urgent as something else might be, but that will go into the ASAP. I'd like to get back to them as soon as I get a chance kind of thing. Routine tasks, different to habits, they're sort of a bit more flexible in when they can happen. So things like the classic one I always think of is always backing up my computer. It doesn't matter if it doesn't happen as soon as it pops up and becomes available, it can happen in another week's time. It's not really going to make any difference at the end of the day. And then I also have a starred perspective. So that's anything that has a little star emoji in the title, basically, in the name of the project. And I tend to pick a couple of projects that I want to be focusing on at the start of the week. And usually that's things that, because I try not to bite off too much if I can possibly help it. So when I'm scheduling, I'll say, okay, I need to make a particular amount of progress on my university work, for example, and that sort of needs to happen. So that typically gets scheduled. Whereas if I know that I'd like to sit down and I'd like to work on building some OmniFocus plugins, for example, that's sort of something that I'd like to focus on, but it doesn't really matter if I don't. So I often won't put that in the today view. I'll just put a star on it so that if I get time, that will be the project that I go to, but it doesn't feel like something I have to do. Whereas if I put it in the today view, it feels like I try and clear out those first three perspectives, the due soon perspective, the habits perspective, and the today perspective. I try and get them clear pretty well every day. they're the six perspectives that sort of run everything for me. And a lot of that's to do with not having one huge long list with all of those different tasks mixed together. It's possible, but I've tried it. It doesn't work, at least not for me and the way that I think. And I do have a lot of other custom perspectives as well. And I did, in the lead up to that Learn OmniFocus session that I did, I have posted some more details of those over on my website as well, if people are really interested. But to be honest with you, most of them are fairly common, generic. There's nothing particularly spectacular about them. There's a couple I have that probably slightly more interesting. One is that I do have particular custom perspectives that are set up that basically replicate the project's perspective that's built into OmniFocus, but they filter it down so that either they exclude all of the sort of routine and habit tasks that are in the database, so that I'm only seeing the kind of novel stuff, or it's only the repeating stuff. And so that helps a little bit with managing having everything in there if I want to look at what have I actually got going on. And the other one that I quite like, mostly because I like the name, and again, this is another idea that's stolen from the Organized Mum method, is this idea of the perspective's called future friend, the idea of being your future friend. So for me, that perspective shows any tasks that are available that I could do that are either due in the future or they're scheduled for the future, so that I've planned to do them in the future. And so if I'm sort of ahead, if I've ticked off all the tasks that I want to do, I can kind of jump into that perspective and go, well, what can I do that's going to make tomorrow easier, or, you know, next week easier, or next month easier, rather than just, oh, you know, what else can I do? I find sometimes, and you don't always want to jump into those tasks necessarily. You don't always want to get ahead on your uni or your housework. You might want to look in your list of fun, geeky things I want to play with and play with those instead. And that's fine. But I like having the option there just to see what can I actually get ahead with if I'm in a sort of a focused mood where I want to do something that's going to benefit me later on and be productive.
It's crazy getting to be able to hear people's stories of how they create something that is a system that becomes, this is how I want to focus during the process of my day. And for you, there's this plan of attack where it's like, you know, these six perspectives are my personal dashboard and I'm able to look at this and just know what stuff needs to be focused on next. That's so cool to me. Do you have any idea like where that originates for you? Where does that come from? Why do you find yourself passionate about being productive?
I read this question, you know, what makes you passionate about productivity? And I balked a little. And I don't know why. I'm quite interested in that reaction of my own. I think it's because of there is a little bit of that culture of productivity porn and, you know, this is my workflow and this is what I do. And are you really getting anything done when you do that? I mean, I'm very tempted by that kind of thing. I, as you are probably aware, I could sit and talk about OmniFocus custom perspectives and automations and things for hours. I recognize that and I acknowledge it kind of as a hobby in that sense. Like I'm under no illusion that I've gotten back the time that I put into learning Omni automation and building all of these plugins, but that's not really why I did it in the first place. So that's totally okay with me. But I guess coming back to really what the original question was, I sort of think about it a little bit in terms of probably because of my accounting background and having studied a little bit of economics and things like that. I mean, an important part of economics is thinking about how you can allocate scarce resources to get the best outcome. And I think there is really no resource that's more scarce than time. you can't make more of it. And particularly now having a one-year-old, it is only more and more true as time goes on. I'm literally losing time as he drops naps. But I think it's valuable to spend the time to make conscious decisions about how to spend your time and how to spend your energy as well. Just because you've got time doesn't necessarily mean that you have energy or you can run it full ball all day. It's certainly not possible. And it's certainly not possible when you've been up six times in the night. So I think it's that idea, and it sort of goes back to getting things done and some of the things that David Allen talks about in there of choosing the, for want of lack of a better word, the right thing to do in any given moment, and knowing that you can trust your system to surface the right things at the right time means that you're not stressed out about all the other things that you could be working on or should be working on. I know that my tendency certainly is if I know that I've got seven things to do when I don't have a plan of attack and I feel like I should be doing all of them all at once, my solution to that, my brain solution to that is, well, it must be time to take a nap, which doesn't really help anybody. It doesn't get me anywhere. And even going back to what we talked about before in terms of, and as I said, I wouldn't recommend that someone takes my system and does exactly the same thing as what I've done. But I think the exercise of having sat down and thought through, okay, well, if I'm presented with a list of tasks, what is the way that I should decide that I want to progress through those tasks? What determines what happens first? Because it's not necessarily urgency and it's not necessarily importance either, or necessarily even a combination of those two things. It could be any number of factors. And so for me, I've tried to replicate something that kind of roughly approximates the order I want to tackle things. But even if you don't try and replicate that in your system, I think that just having some sort of thoughtfulness and, I guess, intentionality in terms of how you want to approach your tasks, I think surely is beneficial. Even if you're not using any sort of task management system, the exercise of reflecting on it.
Well said. It's so funny you mentioned the scarcity of time and this idea that life is limited. And I think that's one of the things sometimes that drives us is we're banking on that this initial investment will have dividends that it pays off on. You know, when you systematize things in the right direction, and that's, you know, mental energy that you don't have to spend rethinking things over and over, templates become very useful and maybe we can go further faster. I think that all of that's true. Speaking of learning from the past, is there anything that you've encountered in your system or you've seen happen with other systems that for somebody just starting out, you would say that's a red flag? Maybe avoid that. That's a potential obstacle to walk around. Again, not saying anybody needs to create their system in your way, but you've seen enough to say, okay, this is a potential pitfall to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's probably, I don't think there's anything that we haven't already sort of touched on in terms of starting too complicated, you know, trying to imagine what you might need rather than working out what you do need. And I know in terms of things that I'm susceptible to myself, if I had to give myself some reminders about what not to do, probably I know I've almost started from scratch in rebuilding what I'm doing a couple of times. And most of the time that's not necessary. Often I find I end up coming back to what worked before and just making a couple of minor tweaks rather than actually, no, I didn't need to rebuild it from the ground up. It just needed a little bit of adjustment. And there's a little bit of fun in playing with the system as well. And so I think knowing that, and not everybody has that tendency, but I think probably if you're listening to the Omni Show, you're probably a little bit susceptible to that as well. I would guess. So no, you don't need to rebuild the system from scratch just because something's changed. And sometimes it's worth taking a look when something changes substantially at whether things are still working and what needs to be changed, but not necessarily throwing everything out and starting again is probably one thing. And I think the other thing, and we've touched on it again, is just trying to make sure you leave that margin for the unexpected to happen. And I say that as someone that, as I said, has just had quite a crazy couple of weeks with, you know, getting this new job. And then I had a holiday planned right after I got the job offer. And so we were away for 2 weeks and then we came back and then my son was sick and then we're packing up the house and we're moving and I'm still trying to do all of the uni and keep the house almost clean. That's kind of gone by the wayside a bit, to be honest. We're skipping those tasks with intentionality this week because we know that it'll be, we're going to do a big clean at the end. So there's no point in dusting at the moment anyway. But I think, yeah, leaving that room, because you can always feel it in the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the wonderful thing about OmniFocus is it, I think people seem to worry when they have a backlog of things in OmniFocus. And to me, it doesn't bother me at all, to be honest, because I know that I can dip into that backlog at any time. And I think it's more about making sure that you're filtering it down in a way that the things that you're looking at are the things you want to be focusing on at the moment. It's okay if there's other stuff, if you actually dive into your project's perspective and there's, you know, 300 projects there. But if you're okay with, you know, not actively working on them at the moment, then there's no problem with the fact that there's 200 projects there that you're not touching right this week. It doesn't matter. That's like, it's a digital system and you still need to review them and you still need to make sure that none of them require action and they come to your attention when you need them. But it's the beauty of having it all there. It's basically like a big database that you can dip into as you need. So don't plan to do everything in your OmniFocus database. And if you get to the end of your list, you can dive back in and pick out something that looks fun or that you think is the next most important thing. And as long as you're doing, you know, doing your reviews and keeping on top of, is there anything that I actually need to, I think of it almost like as pulling it to the surface, like bubbling up to the top of those perspectives that I'm looking at all the time in terms of my system, sort of things rise through the levels as they sort of require more attention.
That's so funny. That reminds me of a quote that I had seen earlier this week. Somebody had mentioned David Sparks's Focused podcast. In one of the episodes, he said that the majority of complaints that people came up with when it came to OmniFocus wasn't necessarily with the software itself, as much as it was with them encountering their own inability to say no to things, and what they're looking at just makes them feel awful and they get stressed out about it. And if that's true for me, that's a really hard thing to confront about myself. You know, I'm looking at software, but then in looking at those lists I've created for myself saying this is what I want out of, you know, life or how to manage my time, you're like, I'm seeing something I really don't like. And I love that you said that it doesn't stress you out being able to see this entire menu of all the what ifs and say, I think I'm going to take a nap right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's too, because so much of my database is personal stuff, and particularly at the moment, and it's not work-based. So it's probably a little bit, I'm probably coming from a position where it's not really fair for me to say that in some levels. Like if someone's looking at a whole list of tasks that's work-related that, you know, they may not have the capacity or capability to say no to necessarily, depending on what context they're working in and what they're doing. It doesn't bother me if I want to build this plugin for OmniFocus that I'm going to share in my free time and nothing's going to collapse if I don't do it. That's probably different to someone that's got someone hounding on their door saying, when's that report coming? But at the end of the day, I mean, if that's the problem that you've got, if you've got too much to do in the time that you've got to do it, then at least you've got that information in front of you because you're going to need to make the decision. Something's going to have to go. And you better to know sort of at the planning stage or the review stage than when it comes to crunch time kind of thing. You know, so like I'm looking at my list now and I'm going, okay, yep, I've got to pack up the house. I've got to do uni. I've got these assignments coming up. Okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to make sure there's people I'd like to catch up with before I move 2 hours away and things like that. But do I have time to fit that in? And do I have time to do these assignments? And when am I going to do them? Because I sort of, when I planned my course load for the trimester, I didn't foresee going back to full-time work, moving 2 hours away, all happening so quickly. So I've got a couple of weeks overlap there where I am studying a half-time load at uni, I'm doing a full-time job, and I will have just moved to towns, and my son will be at home with his dad on his own all day for the first time ever. I don't know how that's going to go yet. And so I can't do a lot about most of those things. They sort of are what they are, but at least I can kind of brace myself for them and learn from that in the future to maybe leave a little bit more margin. But look, I've got just enough space to deal with that because I've left that space there, and it's going to be full on for a few weeks, but it's going to work. It's just going to be, I need to know that that's what I'm committed to, and I need to not commit to anything else is really what it comes down to.
Caitlin, I feel like you've given us so much value within this time, especially being as busy as you are. Thank you for that value. Thank you for sharing not only just tips and tricks, but just some different ways of looking at things too. The idea of the future friend tag, my gosh, has legs in and of itself. And if people feel like, you know, maybe I didn't get everything I needed, I wish I could maybe spend some more time diving deeper, how can they engage with what you're up to or connect with some of the work that you've done?
So I have a very neglected website over at caitlinsalski.com. And because of everything we've talked about today, it's probably going to stay neglected in the immediate future, but that's okay. And I have an equally neglected Twitter account, but you're welcome to tweet at me and I will probably see it, maybe not immediately, but I do check in with that occasionally, even though I'm not actively tweeting, because I feel a bit like I'm shouting into an abyss every time I tweet. It feels a little bit self-indulgent, but I am there if you are keen on Twitter. And I do have, obviously, you can contact me by email as well. And my email address is on my website and everything like that. So more than happy to take questions or comments or feedback, or you can tell me that I'm doing everything wrong in OmniFocus and I should start from scratch. And I will ignore you because it's all about what works for me. But no, always happy to connect with people and over in all the OmniFocus places as well. So I'm always checking in with the Slack, even if I'm not posting in the OmniFocus forum, I'm usually lurking. So I'll see things over there as well.
Caitlin, we are so honored to have been able to have had you as a guest today. Thank you so much for your time and just all the wisdom you've shared with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today too. As always, you can drop us a line at The Omni Show on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you there. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.